Live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and the callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Thank you for joining us, everybody. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio with Alon and Nate.
Hello, folks.
We are free and unarmed here on KFNX News Talk Radio in Phoenix, Arizona. Today is January 15th. This is our first time back in the radio station in a few weeks now, right?
Yeah. Thank you, Andrew.
We appreciate that. We have an audience here of zero people. Now, we are going to talk about video games, as we always do. I've got Nate here joining me again, as always.
Yep.
And I'm going to start off with housekeeping info. First of all, if you need to go learn more about our show, go to chatterboxgameshow.com. We've got forums there. You can sign up and talk to all of our other fans who are hopefully tuning in over the
right now,
internet
or,
stream.
Or tomorrow when the podcast goes up.
Or, yeah, they can also listen to the podcast. And, of course, we have an IRC channel open if you want to go to that. That's all described in the forums. You can learn how to do all that in there. Now, before we really go into the show, I'm going to ask you guys a question. Feel free to call in later when we open up the phone lines.
Please do.
We're going to talk about selling of virtual items. We've done this before, but there's a very interesting article I wanted to talk about today. Really, one of the most interesting topics I think we've ever covered, at least from my point of view, but I'm sort of a business geek, so maybe it only suits my fancy.
I could see it as somewhat important.
So I'm wondering if anybody has sold any virtual items, you know, that they got in a game, earned, or maybe bought something on eBay for a game.
Like gold. Or
and then later sold it again.
Your plus 10 hammer.
Yeah. Or maybe bought it and then just used it to help. You know, maybe you bought so many Ultima gold pieces or whatever and then used it to buy a big, like you said, hammer.
Hammer, yeah.
Big. If you are involved in the real-world economy of an MMO, I want to hear from you, hear about your experience. Hopefully it's an interesting one. So we're going to talk about that later in the show. Now, also, Nate has some ideas about gaming television he wanted to talk about.
Mainly just, I was... My girlfriend's out of town, so I was able to get acquainted with an old friend, the television, this weekend, and I just saw some shows on Spike. So I figured I'd just kind of lend what I thought.
Yeah. And I also got an email from, let's see, we have so many listeners who are emailing me these days. I don't get back to all of them. By the way, if you sent an email to me and you were sort of expecting a response or you worded it in such a way that you wanted a response and I haven't emailed back, it's probably because I just let it slip. You should try again. I try to get back to everybody.
Yeah, usually I get back to everyone who emails me, but not a lot of people. Like I said, I never get any emails.
They all go to me.
They all go to you.
All the links on the website go to my email.
Yeah, oh, that's right.
So there's one or two for you. Anyway, so, yeah, send an email again if you want to hear from us, because I'll really try to get back to you. But I got a message, which he also posted in the forums, talking about an experience he had at a retail store. I think it might have been Walmart. And so
yes,
we're going to talk about that. Talk about that later in the show, too, because I think it was interesting enough to bring up. Has to do with ratings and ID
and
checking.
How far
and all
it
that.
Extends.
Yeah. All right, now we always start the show off for real, talking about what we've been playing lately. Nate, is there anything you've been touching on?
Well, I played, finally got a hold, not the newest game, but I was able to play not really a game, but Lost Coast, that expansion.
That's Half-Life 2, expansion. Right?
Half-Life 2. It just shows off their new technology. So.
Is that the one that does the high dynamic range lighting and all that?
Yeah, it looks all nice and pretty.
Were you playing it on
like
your
that.
Roommate system?
Actually, I was playing it on my brother's system.
All right.
So it looks very nice. Not so much in pretty standard gameplay, but it did look very, very pretty. I do have to say. I hope Aftermath looks as good.
Is Aftermath another expansion?
That's the expansion. It's the next. I believe it's stated to release sometime here soon. But it's
nothing like having the solid details on you.
Yeah.
When we get on the air.
Well, I mean, release dates, they are very, especially for PC.
Oh, right? Valve never has a solid release.
No,
date.
They don't.
Oh, of course.
But yeah, it's just pretty much an expansion. It's after you've destroyed that big tower at the end. It's what happens afterwards.
The end of Lost Coast?
No, at the end of Half-Life 2. Lost Coast is its own entity.
Explain the linearity here for me. There's Half-Life 2.
There's
I understand
Half-Life
that.
2.
That, of course, came after Half-Life.
Yes.
Now, what's Lost Coast? It's just an expansion.
Lost Coast, it's not so much an expansion. It's like an add-on. It's just to show off the...
So this is something that the Half-Life developers put together using the engine, but it's not really the Half-Life storyline?
Yeah. You just go to this coast, and you, help this guy out. Like,
but are
the
you
last...
still that Gordon guy, or whatever
yes,
his name
you're,
is?
Yes, you're Gordon.
You are Gordon.
Yeah.
So it is in the same universe?
Yes.
Okay.
But it's not... I don't believe it's really attached to Half-Life 2, as in, something that actually happened.
Okay.
So...
Gotcha. So it's sort of a mod expansion. Now, Aftermath is actually...
That's the actual expansion to Half-Life 2.
Okay.
That's what happens after, since the Aftermath.
The Aftermath. Yeah. All right. Yeah, see, I didn't play through Half-Life 2.
Okay.
So I don't know about any big tower.
Well, you should, and you're a huge tool, but not.
Oh, mister, I just played Guitar Hero for the first time today.
Actually, just played Fable over the weekend.
Yeah, a year-old game. I finally had Nate over and was like, you know what, you should probably play Guitar Hero, since I said how good of a game it was. I should tell my story, by the way. Right before I left to Vegas for the CES, at like 9 in the morning, I got this FedEx package. You remember the story, right, Nate?
Yeah.
You're looking at me with these questioned eyes.
No. You got the shoes and your shirt.
Yeah. So all of a sudden, like, I'm getting ready to leave for Vegas. I've got this 4 or 5 hour trip planned. Turned out to be 6 hours. Kind of lame. So anyway, I'm getting ready to go, getting all my stuff together, and all of a sudden, FedEx arrives with a package. Now, this isn't completely strange. This happens from time to time. Stuff just gets sent to me without me expecting it, and that's
bombs,
fine.
Bombs, you know.
No.
A little anthrax here and there.
None
sometimes
of that stuff.
Shoes.
But I'll get stuff from a game company every once in a while or some marketing junk. But anyway, so this box comes from Vans, the shoe company. And I think, that's awfully strange. I don't know of any connection we have with Vans. But on the sticker, the FedEx label, you know, not a marketing sticker or anything, nothing like describing what's in the box, just the thing that has an address on it. It says it's from the Department of Guitar Hero. And this was, I think, 4 days after the show in which I declared Guitar Hero as my favorite game of 2005.
Yeah.
So I thought, wow, maybe they have some sort of marketing connection. They're trying to market a special Guitar Hero shoe or something or whatever. And they decide to send me something because they heard me say good stuff about it on the radio. And I thought that would be cool. Apparently we have some prowess. That, of course, not the case.
No, you had won a...
Well, we don't know this yet.
Oh, you're
don't
not...
Don't jump to the gun here.
Okay, that's what you told me. You said you had won a contest.
I want to tell my story.
Sorry, go ahead.
So I open up the box not knowing what it is. And, of course, it's shoes. Black shoes, the white design, looks sort of like the guitar just because of the color scheme, right? But there's no note, there's no business card, there's nothing inside. All I know is I got these shoes, it said something about Guitar Hero on the box sticker, and that's it. So I'm very confused. I go to CES.
And your shoe size.
Oh,
that's what creeped me out.
It was weird. It was in the correct shoe size. So I go to CES thinking I'm all big and bad. Somebody likes me. They listen to the show, and they're sending me free stuff. And then I get back, of course, and that Monday night... After after CES, I got another package from Vans. Again, no letter, no business card, no explanation, no reference to Guitar Hero this time, just a shirt from Vans Shoes. All right, a little confusing, but I called Vans Corporate, and there was a connection for internet marketing or whatever, and on the receipt it did say that the shoes were no charge from internet marketing. So I called the number, left a message, I said, hey, you know, maybe this is because you heard our show. Maybe you should just call me back and let me know what this is all about. If you have some sort of Guitar Hero connection, I'd like to know so I could tell my listeners about it. That would be a good thing to do. And then I get an email back saying, oh, you won a contest. It's like, a contest? What contest? And then I remembered back. I thought back to myself. Apparently, I did remember this actually, so I'm not just guessing. I had filled in one of those little internet things. I saw on DDR Freak. Vans is giving away DDRFreak.com, right? Vans has this contest to... A Guitar Hero contest, you can win a Gibson guitar, you can win some shoes, win a copy of the game. All right. So I, you know, filled it out real quick. My name, my shoe size, my address, and my email. And apparently I won this contest. Nobody notified me. Nobody called. Nobody wrote. Nobody put a letter in the box of the stuff they sent me.
You maybe should have just known. Didn't they send you email at all?
No, I got nothing. Here's the best part. I figured I just signed up for a world of spam by entering that contest, and I'll never win anything. Of course, obviously, I did win, and I just got the Guitar Hero bundle, the whole game.
With the guitar that doesn't work.
Yeah. Shh. A couple days ago, I got the whole game, too. So all three separate packages. Again, no letter, no business card, no explanation of any sort. But the best part is, still haven't gotten a single Vans marketing spam message at all. So, like, signing up for this email didn't even help them. Or signing up for the contest. I don't know who's benefiting from the contest. All I know is I got shoes, and I feel guilty for taking the Guitar Hero game, you know, from the hands of someone who didn't already own it.
Yeah.
And like Nate said, the guitar had a little bit of an issue.
A little problem, yeah.
I had to open it up and see if I could fix it, because one of the buttons was being pressed without me trying to press it.
But, I don't know, just playing it tonight here, I didn't care.
You were having such a good time with that game.
Oh, man, I was having a blast. I didn't like how high, how vertical I actually had to get the guitar.
That's just for the secret, not for the secret, but for the bonus points.
I need that bonus. as much as humanly
But you'd
possible.
Only tried it once. Your fingers aren't used to it.
Yeah.
You saw me. I was jamming out in the Crossroads song from Cream. I was going crazy.
Doing crazy licks. You were doing pretty good up until the end. And then
there's one
started
section.
You gotta
build up your star power so that when they give you the really hard section, you turn that on and you don't die. You don't lose if your star power is going. Of course, there was one time yesterday when I turned it on and immediately failed. But I was turned it on too late. All right, so is there anything else I want to talk about before the break? I don't know. I think I got my Guitar Hero story out of the way.
Yep.
We talked about what we've been playing. I haven't been playing anything with Guitar Hero because it's so good. But we're going to come back after the break and talk about real-world economics of virtual games, how it interacts with your life. And certainly give us a call at 866-536-1100 if you have any experience with real-world economy.
And how to deal with the IRS if you ever want to make this a living.
It's a really fun discussion. Anyway, we'll be back right after this break, folks. Please stay tuned. Welcome back, everybody, to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Alon, and this is
Nate.
Excellent. Now, what I love about the studio show, not doing the podcast ourselves,
is that it's so cold.
It is a little chilly, but I don't have to do the work. I don't have to do all the audio work. We've got Andrew back there in the sound studio. Thank you very much, Andrew, for all the help. Now, I did forget to mention before the break that there were a couple things I wanted to say. First of all, there were a few shows ago. I can't remember when it was. I think it might have been our Christmas show. I talked about the stamps in France, the video game characters on the postage stamps.
I remember that. I believe it was the Christmas show.
Yeah. And so I got an email like a few days later saying, hey, I'm your listener in France. I'll send you those. I was like, well, awesome. Here's my address. And I just got them this week. I got my full set of my sheet of 10 stamps.
They were very cool.
What's weird is they have different values, right? I don't understand how the postal system in France works if everything is rated differently with amounts and whatever. But like some were the 20... centimes or whatever a cent is in France, right? 20 and somewhere 35. And so it offended me that like the cool characters that I recognized and I liked were 20 centers.
Well, they're older.
Other characters were 35. But it's really cool. There's one, you know, there's Mario. Sims is kind of lame. There's one that
Lara Croft was in there. Pac-Man.
Yeah. I'm not trying to say that Sims is lame, but the stamp itself just looked kind of lame.
Oh.
But like the Mario was cool and yeah, Lara Croft was on there. I think Pac-Man had a spot.
Yep.
And I think Zelda was on the Zelda game. It was probably Link. But there was one game that was French only, Abadou or something. I've never heard of it.
Oh, yeah. I was wondering what that was.
Abadabadoobity. I don't know. It was kind of like when I was a kid, I'd never heard of Asterix and Obelix, but it was really big in French-speaking places, right?
Yeah.
And in all of Europe. So then it finally made its way into America, I guess, because I saw some video games, Asterix games. So I guess they started playing the cartoons for kiddos. But... it was there for, like, years before.
All right, cool.
Anyway, they weren't on the stamp sheet, which was strange. I would have expected them. Anyway, I got it, so thank you, Hassan. I appreciate it. Also, I put out a request for people to go to Podcast Alley and vote for us, and it's done really well.
Yeah, we're number 15
in the technology category. So if you want to go there and vote for us, we could go even higher. And they start every month again. So the beginning of the month, vote real fast.
Yeah,
and then we'll get to the top of the list, and then more people will see us, and they'll vote for us, and you can go to the comments section. I got to end of the show. I'm going to read you some comments, Nate.
All right.
There's suddenly this slew of positive comments about it. You're the greatest show ever. Yes. Why don't you tell your friends about it so more people know? All right. So I'm going to talk about what I really want to talk about this segment. First editorial of the day. Basically, my question to the masses, should you have to fill out a 1099 just to play a massively multiplayer online game? Now, let me give you the phone number again. If you want to call in, we're going to open up the lines in about 10 minutes. 866-536-1100. Give us a call if you have any experience playing MMOs and selling stuff for real-world money.
Actually, I have a little experience.
Really?
Yeah, I sold... at one point, I was playing Ultima Online for, I think, 3 years, and I was a miner. And I sold, I don't know, however many... this was also back when, like, eBay was, you know, still young and new and, you know, all hip and whatnot. And I believe I sold... I don't know how many ore, but it was a lot. But I believe I got like $75 from some guy. I was like, that was cool.
Don't we have a professor at UAT who made like $10,000
Yeah, Derek Clark, he was big on EverQuest or UO, really? But like he sold houses and like land, and he was
That's
making
wild.
Lots of money.
Wow, that is substantial complimentary income.
Yeah.
All right, so here's the story that I wanted to talk about. This guy, Julian DeBell, who, by the way, I called this evening asking if he'd be on the show.
But sounded very tired, apparently.
The connection we have on the phone was so poor that it got cut off very quickly, and I left him a voicemail after. So maybe he'll be on the show in the future. But Julian DeBell, I think we may have talked about this guy last year on the show, that he wanted to go for a whole year, and his sole occupation would be
to play
an MMO
MMOs.
Player, an MMO virtual trader, real-world trader, or whatever. And so he actually did this a while ago, but then he wrote an article about it recently, or at least it was posted recently on legalaffairs.com. You can go read it now. So he went through a whole year, and he made money selling stuff that he'd get in the game. And I guess like he decided he was just going to concentrate on collecting gold and selling the gold, possibly because it's the most liquid item. I'm not really sure the details of his decision. I guess he said that was the quickest thing to deal with.
Well, obviously he wasn't making money right away. But,
well, it takes a little time.
Yeah.
I'm sure he had done this for a while and decided, hey, I'm going to try this for a whole year and see what happens.
All
right. Of course, this is leading to other things like book deals and whatever.
Yeah.
So it's been good for him. But I think in the end, he only made like 11 grand or something. But
yeah.
Here's my point. The very interesting question that it brings up is taxation. Now, I know that we talk about video games, but this is related to video games, and you're gonna find this fascinating, right? He went and he researched this. Conceptually speaking, if you make money, you need to tell the IRS about it and get taxed.
Yeah.
Certainly, if you want to be legal, this is what you do.
Yeah, you have to. Well, his thing was, like, do I say I own, like, the sword that I can potentially make money on? Is it still worth money?
Exactly. Like, just because I have the sword in the game, does that mean I'm getting taxed because
it's not an investment?
Really,
it's not, you know, it's not real, but it can be converted into money, which then has to be taxed.
Yeah. Now, what about the people who don't think about this? Right? They don't think about their stuff as investments. They just played it as a game.
Yeah.
They don't
all these
sell
hardcore
stuff on eBay.
Gamers are breaking the law.
Right? But they don't know it.
They just
don't know. So here's the thing. A rational person would say, well, you know what? If I didn't sell it, I never made income off of it, and so therefore it should not be taxed.
Well, I think with the law, but it would be the potential income that you could make. Because let's say I win a car. I haven't paid any money for it, but I have to pay taxes on it.
But this is virtual. This doesn't actually exist. So here's the argument that I was saying rational people would claim you didn't actually make any money off of this. It's like an investment. If I buy a stock, right, I do not get taxed on anything to do with that stock because I paid for it.
Yeah.
Right? And so you could say your entrance fee in the game is paying for
or
it.
Or monthly fees or whatnot.
Who knows? So if I buy a stock, cool. I only have to pay the income on it if I sell it later and it was worth more. If I sold it and lost money on it, of course, I can write it off.
Yep.
So that's, you know, it's sort of fair. If I lose, cool, I take it off the taxes, and vice versa. Now, he says, well, I didn't make any money off this item because I haven't sold it yet, theoretically speaking.
But what if someone steals it? Can you write that off?
Yeah, well, see, there's all these logistics involved. What happens? So he looked into this. He says there's some section in IRS code. It's like, basically, once you read this, you realize you didn't know anything about income before you read this because it's so convoluted. There's so many different things. And
do you have the quote about the stealing?
Yeah, I was just about to read that. There's actually a part in it. Let me see if I can find this. Oh, this could be tough for me to find. There's a part in it in this IRS code that actually says, like you have to pay for stuff you stole.
But you have to report anything you stole unless within that year you return it to the person that got it stolen.
Quote, if you steal property, you must report it at its fair market value in your income in the year you steal it, unless in the same year you return it to its rightful owner. Now, that's written, I don't know, it doesn't look like he's being facetious. It looks like he took that from the actual code, so I don't know.
It be good to be reporting stuff that you stole?
Because
couldn't people find that?
I don't know. I just thought it was funny. So anyway, theoretically, and I would agree, if you didn't sell it, you didn't make money off of it, you don't get taxed. But he looks into it, and apparently in the 70s, there was this stuff that happened where people created these barter clubs.
They still do that. Out in the South, they have, like, their own currency, so they don't actually have
to use... Yeah, so you can avoid taxes, right?
Yeah.
The problem was, so, like, you say, well, I'm going to do your taxes, and so
you're
I get this virtual currency.
You know?
Yeah, exactly, and then you, like, do a root canal or something.
Yeah.
And so you avoid taxation. The problem is, they were basically trading back and forth up to, like, $200 million worth of stuff every year, and so the government was like, you know what? You're trying to cheat us. We're going to make you pay for that stuff. we're going to step in and change the rules that said money has to be transferred for income to happen. And now, because you've been trading stuff, we are going to tax you. So now this comes into play here where, all right, so something that never actually created income, you have, and you can trade. So I get, let's say I buy a sword on eBay, plus 10 hammer or something, and then I trade it for something else, and then I use that, and I make some money in-game, and then I trade that, or over time, perhaps the value of a certain item changes because the overlords of the game decide to create rarity you know, of that item, or vice versa, make it less rare. How do you deal with that? Should you have to? And so he goes on this quest, calling all sorts of IRS offices, tax people, and whatever.
He actually goes down to the office.
Yeah, he gets transferred from person to person. He had a great conversation with a tax preparer, and the tax preparer is like, all right, so let me get this straight. You get a fake jewel that gives you all sorts of invincibility or something. And actually, you have two of them, so you're going to sell one on eBay. Or maybe you just don't want it anymore. And so you're wondering if you should get taxed for this? Yes, he says.
That's weird.
Yes, that's just weird, is his confidential response. And so I find this fascinating, that now, based on this precedent from the 70s and early 80s with all this barter law, that actually you would be breaking the law by not declaring this item that you won by killing a character in a game or by digging it up or whatever.
You know, it might only, you know, you could say that only people that are making a living off this.
We went into Argoslot's account and we saw that he had a sword valued at $10,000. But, like, also, it defines fair market value by somebody else's ability to produce money off of it. And there's so much variability in auctioning.
I'm sure the IRS at some point will step in, because now that these gold farming, you can, like, have someone farm gold for you for a certain amount. How are these people...
To avoid taxes, you know what I would do? I would put a buy it now auction, sell it for a dollar, have my friend buy it, and be like, hey, there's proof that thing's only worth a buck. It's not worth $10,000.
I don't think that's exactly fair market.
That defines fair market. All right, we got to go to break, everybody.
With one person, your buddy buying it?
We'll be back in just a minute. Please keep listening to Chatterbox.
Chatterbox.
Chatterbox Video Game Radio.
That would be us.
Alon and Nate.
Right here.
That's Nate. I'm Alon. And Andrew's over there in the sound studio having fun with our little sound man clips. Chatterbox.
Chatterbox.
It's Chatterbox. We hear our Chatterboxers.
Yes.
And so are the listeners. All right. So we have another segment of great industry editorial for you.
Oh, yes.
Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to tell you about an email that a listener sent me a while ago. Let's see if I can find this email now. Something that happened when I was at Walmart. Excuse the grammar. I might not be able to correct it all on the fly while reading this. I was in the electronics section trying to get a Resident Evil 4 strategy guide. On the cover, it said, based on a game rated by the ESRB to be mature. And because of this, Walmart decided to card me for it. Of course, I'm not the mature age. I guess he assumed I knew he was underage when he sent this email. So he had to come back later with a parent. He says, I believe printed material not in the game should not be in the ESRB's district and should not be carded. So by this he means the strategy guide. I mean, it's like carding someone over a book based off of a movie rated R and then carding them. Like I said, I'll not be able to clean up the grammar here. But anyway, he says there's no bad language in it, but some graphical pictures of blood and such. And he's asking us, should companies that sell strategy guides have to card him for it?
Well, I don't think it was necessarily company, but more Walmart carded him.
Walmart, of course, is a company that sells a strategy guide.
Oh, I thought you said making a strategy guide.
Should companies that sell these strategy guides?
Oh, okay. I misheard. All
right.
Must have been all the bad grammar.
Okay. So, what do you think, Nate?
Really, I just don't think it's... I can see why Walmart did it, just because of how, like, hot coffee went. You know, anything relating to games, I can understand why they'd rather piss off, you know, a minor than... I hope I can say piss.
Yes.
then,
you can say piss off, you just can't refer to that word as if it were something else, another noun.
All right. Well, I can see why they'd rather upset a minor rather than, you know, potentially get some sort of lawsuit going.
Yeah, it's sort of a question of, like, have they stepped over the line? Have they gotten too scared? Are we dealing with, oh no, something might happen, or I don't know if I'm allowed to, so I'm just going to say no. Maybe this person was too busy or too lazy or whatever to ask their manager, are we allowed to do this? Or maybe it was the manager decided, you know what, I can't do that.
Yeah.
But, like, what if the kid went over and bought a romance novel? You think that would be allowed?
Well, that...
doesn't have a rating on it.
True. I mean, he does have some good points. I can see why they did it.
Whereas, about a Stephen King book?
Stephen King's are very graphic.
Yeah.
But they didn't have graphic... They don't have graphic pictures in them. I think that's where the thing where the... it doesn't coincide anymore.
Yeah, I agree with you. Maybe it's the pictures that do it. But then again, I bet you could find stuff with graphic images in any magazine or, say, a Newsweek, perhaps.
True.
Probably has a bunch of pictures of dead people.
Actual dead people.
Dead human beings.
But they're not.
Maybe in Iraq.
That's real, and that's not going to warp their minds.
So real is okay. And if it's put out by Newsweek...
Then it's fine.
But if Prima or somebody makes a strategy guide and it has some grainy shots of a video game where a zombie might be missing his head...
Some 2x2 pictures in the magazine.
Yeah. A child missing his left hand and a giant hole in his chest from a grenade or something.
That's fine.
That is perfectly
acceptable.
That's
fine.
I would guess. Now listen, I don't know Walmart's policy. Maybe if I went in there, they wouldn't sell my young 5-year-old, who I don't have, a Newsweek magazine. Maybe they'd wonder why.
Do you
have $5 to spend on this magazine? I don't know.
I'm probably getting semantics if they sell Newsweek, but
well,
regardless.
I bet they do. But I would like to hear from other people. We're going to open up the lines. I forgot to open up last segment. 866-536-1100. Looks, we already
have a call right now.
Mitchell from New York. Bruiser's on the line. Let's get you on there.
Hi, guys.
Hey, good to hear from you. So tell us your story.
Huh?
Tell us your story.
Well, I mentioned it on the forums already, but I was at Barnes & Noble trying to get a book based off of Diablo, that game that Blizzard makes that's rated M.
Yep, we all know it.
Yeah, and this is just a novel, no pictures or anything.
Yep.
And there's a little note on the back. It's on the Halo novels, too.
Yep.
That... this novel is based on an M-rated game, and I got carded for it.
And so they wouldn't sell it to you, right?
No.
No.
Now, that's that, I can see, that's a little excessive.
Not a single picture. I mean, can you imagine not being able to buy the Halo novel?
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems a little ridiculous.
I actually was able to get the Halo novels, but...
You were?
Yeah.
Okay, so Halo you could get, but Diablo you
couldn't. Diablo couldn't.
Yeah.
Now, you're in New York, though, right?
Uh-huh.
All right. I was thinking maybe the word Diablo scared the clerk. because it means devil.
Yeah.
They didn't want to sell it. Halo is angelic, right?
Yes.
Only angels have halos.
That's
so
right.
It's okay to buy that.
Interesting idea.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it seems to work for you. You can buy Halo by heaven, but not hell.
Yeah.
Interesting,
yeah.
I think. Thank you for the story, Mitchell.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling. And if anybody else has a story to tell, give us a call at 866-536-1100. So that's a perfect example. Same thing happened to Mitchell.
That seems a little excessive to me.
Yeah,
cause,
see ya.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
That seems the same thing as, you know, buying the Stephen King novel, which I'm sure is, you know, much more graphic than, say, Diablo.
And again, referring to real situations.
Yeah.
You know, I can't find anything more graphic than a news magazine these days.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, except, of course, the actual news on video.
Yeah.
But, it just seems extreme to me, and it's upsetting that they're going to such lengths to protect themselves.
But
I can understand it. They have to, because they'll get yelled at by the NIMF.
Yeah.
What are you doing? David Walsh said no.
Don't
sell that magazine to that kid.
We need to hear from these guys. Have you gone to their website? I don't want to get on a tangent here. But if anyone, I highly suggest everyone, going to the website and actually looking at their rating system. It's awful and very, very biased.
Is that NIMF.org?
I believe so. But it's all based on, green light, red light, yellow caution.
Oh, yeah.
And it goes across, I don't know, 12 variables. For fear, I believe the summary of the game on their website was, a fairly violent and graphic game where the object of the game is to kill as many people as possible.
Yep. Another irony I just realized is that I bet Mitchell or our other listener would be able to go buy a magazine that reviewed Resident Evil 4 with giant whole page pictures.
Oh, I'm sure.
I'll bet he'd be able to do that.
And be fine.
But buying the book
buying
that says
that book,
M on it.
Can't
not,
have that.
Not acceptable. All right,
It'll
we have Tom from Ohio. He says he agrees with carding people. Let's get Tom on. You're on with Chatterbox.
Yeah, I'm on.
Hey, yes. Tom.
I was gonna say, I agree with Walmart carding because I think they should. But I don't know. but like you said, with the news post showing the people in Iraq dead.
Yep.
Why don't they card them there?
Well, that's the point I think we're trying to make.
I'm concerned about this. I imagine if a baby or someone barely young enough to walk came and offered money for the Newsweek, and there was maybe the cover photo wasn't George Bush or something, they'd say, no, you probably shouldn't buy this. Or maybe not. Maybe they just wonder where your mom is.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe.
But, yeah, have you ever come across this sort of experience, Tom?
I was going to say, I don't think I have. I know I've come across it with, like, CDs and stuff, but...
Yeah,
I don't think I've never come across it with buying like a magazine or a book or anything.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't either.
But you know, they are doing. You just thought of this. They are doing the thing that I said. If they're going to, you know, monitor all, you know, just video games, they have to monitor all media. So why not card for books and CDs and magazines now?
They just need to come up with a policy.
Yeah,
and they haven't. And like I said, I don't necessarily agree with it, but I can understand why they do out of fear.
Oh,
we
yeah.
seem to be a country run by fear. We're pretty good at that. The government sort of instills that into us.
Yep.
So I can understand. I wouldn't blame, you know, Joe Walmart employee.
They're erring on the side of
caution.
For
not wanting to get fired because he sold a book. But then, like I said, probably buy the magazine anyway. Thanks for the call, Tom.
Yeah.
All right. So it's good to hear that people have opinions on this.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, I understand it. Don't agree with it. If they put out an actual policy, you can sell this magazine, you can't sell this magazine. You know what? June is okay, but May, that has an article that's not good. We're going to nix that.
Nix that.
What we need to do is have Walmart editors for all the written material in the store. And then we'll know. They'll tell you can't sell this, you can't sell this.
Yep.
That's it. It'll make the decision for the employees so they don't have to make it themselves. All right, now, Nate, tell me about Spike TV.
Oh, yes. Okay, so I was watching TV just a few days ago. And I happen to run across Spike TV. I like how Spike TV is becoming more like G4, whereas G4 is becoming more like Spike. They're doing the opposite to
gain
viewership.
You saw a show that you actually liked on Spike TV?
I did see. Okay, let me set it up for you. So
you've got 1 minute.
I do. Okay. So I was watching this first show called the, I don't know, Head Shop Games or something like that. Stupid. They have a Head Games. They have a no. That's the good one.
Okay.
They're like. I don't know. It got a monkey in it. It was so bad, I forgot the name of it. But there is somewhat of a good show. It's called Head Games, and they actually interviewed a company, Blur. They make cinematics, and it was fairly exciting. Like, it was the kind of show where the first, I'd say, 10 minutes, I was like, wow, I'd watch this again. Of course, they had to do some, like, corporate BS where they had to, like, talk about some Vegas poker show while he was interviewing this guy.
Show advertising?
Yeah, yeah. But other than that, like, this guy actually seemed to... It was a little dumbed down. I could see why. I mean, it's not for everybody, you know. But, like, for people just kind of watching it, I could see them, oh, that's cool. And not, you know, being it's... They're not driving motorcycles, and it's not super hip. It's just the, you know, interviewer talking, you know, to this corporate guy, you know, about his business and, you know, the game industry. And it was... I thought it was informative.
Bottom line, you liked something on Spike TV?
I like something on Spike TV.
You're not coming back next week. Now, before we go, I have to do my in-show advertising and mention UAT. Go to uat.edu if you want to learn how to get into the industry, folks.
Programming.
Programming,
the
art, all about it. We love UAT because they're a good sponsor.
And I go there.
uat.edu. We will be back after this break and talk about a video game champion traveling to Japan.
Yep.
We'll be back.
See you.
Chatterbox Video Game Radio here on January 15th. Once again, my name's Alon. This is Nate.
Hi, I'm Nate.
All right, I got to remind you once again, we did before break, now after break, go to uat.edu if you want to get into the industry by programming, by producing art, animation.
They got DV, all that stuff.
Everything related to video games, even motion capture classes.
Yep.
You can do over
at
UAT.
We have our own motion capture studio.
Yeah, I don't know where it is, though.
It's up in the back.
They actually put it in the middle, the main building?
Yeah.
The one building?
The green screen room. They redid that.
Really?
And now it's a motion capture? We actually have a sound studio that they're building right now.
Cool.
So hopefully I'll get to use it before I graduate.
We got to be careful. We talk about them too much. They're going to have to pay more.
That's right.
Oh, we got to stop. All right. So I mentioned there's a video game champion guy. I don't know about champion, but a good video game player heading off to Japan. And it's a little bit strange. We're going to bring in a special correspondent, Nathan Smart.
That's what we need. More Nathans on the show.
Yeah.
That's helping.
Yeah, tons of Nathans. All right. So Do we have
are
our
we
phones?
Take him
our
now?
Phones are working, Andrew. You're in the back there.
This guy's always on the go, so it's hard to sometimes get a hold of him, you know.
So here's the story. Up next, Bryce Mellon is a 17-year-old master at Mortal Kombat. Now, here's the catch. He's blind. He's going to Japan to play in a tournament on Japanese television, and Nathan Smart, our blind community expert from thegamerag.com, is here to give us his take on this amazing phenomenon.
Thanks, Ron. I wanted to talk about this amazing story because I feel like the other news outlets are missing something. Sure, it's amazing, a blind kid playing Mortal Kombat beats his foes, yeah. No one's talking about what's really going on. This kid is selling out his own people just to make a quick buck.
What do you mean he's selling out? Or what? I don't understand. He's his people?
Yeah, the blind community, Alon. Ever since I became a blind community expert, I've been very sensitive to their cause. Blind people, or blindies as they prefer to be called, for many years have been oppressed by society, and they like it just fine.
You can't be serious. I don't believe for one second that blind people want to be oppressed.
Blindies, Alon. They're blindies.
I can't believe that they want to be oppressed. Surely, you know, they've been working to become accepted, just like any other minority. In fact, I'm willing to bet this kid going to Japan is a great step forward for the community.
A step backward.
How can this be a step backward? Bryce is proving to the world that blind people can function in society and do anything that a sighted person can do.
Okay, listen. Alon, I agree with you. I mean... Blindies, they can do anything that a person with eyesight can do. They can have blind cooks. There's been blind water skiers. There's been blind senators, blind seeing eye dogs. Blind people can do anything they want.
So then, Nathan, why are they selling out?
Remember the Pinball Wizard?
You mean from Tommy, the Who song?
The Pinball Wizard was a blindie who played pinball. He stood like a statue. He became part of the machine. He felt all the bumpers. He always played clean. He played by intuition when the digit counters would fall. Alon, that deaf, dumb, and blind kid, he sure played a mean pinball.
I know the lyrics, Nathan.
Well, then you know that nowhere in the song does he use his blindness to make money.
Well, it is just a song. It's not a real story. Someone had to write that song.
Alon, he was a blindie, a deafie, and a dummy. He played friggin' pinball, Alon. He was a genius, but he never once fell into the temptation of making money off of his talents.
Wait, people make money off their talents every day, Nathan. Wouldn't you say that as a writer, you're making money off of your writing talents?
I may be a righty, Alon, but this is my job. You think I like doing this? You think I like coming up with fake banners so you can look smart and I look like an idiot? You think I like getting paid? This is what I do for a living. This kid plays Mortal Kombat as a hobby, and he's making money off of that hobby.
Isn't that everyone's goal, though? I mean, a lot of people think turning a hobby into a paying gig is commendable. I don't think you're going to find a lot of people backing you up here, Nathan.
Alon, you're not seeing my point.
You're absolutely right. I really don't know what you're trying to make here. I don't even know where you're going with this.
I've seen Pearl Harbor, Alon.
Nathan Smart, ladies and gentlemen, our blind community expert. Thank you very much, Nathan.
Thank you.
If you want to hear more from Nathan, you can always go to thegamerag.com, and we might hear more from him in the future. That was an exciting segment.
I just came back. That was, yeah. That was great. I had to go use the restroom.
That was good. Did you hear about this? The kid, blind,
oh,
plays
blind
Mortal Kombat?
Mortal Kombat.
Soul Calibur.
My thing was, like, how does he know where the other opponent is? Because in that game, you have the ability to actually get behind your opponent.
I don't understand it, but apparently he does really well. And Nathan, he has some issue. Has some issue with this guy.
Apparently. Well, the blindies.
He wants to play some mean pinball.
He's selling out.
That's all right. You know, have you ever tried playing with your eyes closed?
No, I have not.
I've done that a little bit. People who play DDR, they can turn the arrows off, right?
Really?
Yeah. Or like they'll memorize the song, they'll turn it on reverse, and they'll turn around backwards so they're facing the audience. It's like they're playing blind, basically.
Wow.
Now, I don't do that. I don't memorize my songs.
No, you don't.
No.
You should do that with Guitar Hero. Play that blind.
Oh, my gosh.
Just feel the beat.
You shouldn't mention Guitar Hero, because then I'm just going to find a way to tangent off and talk about something else.
I'd like to hear more about these blind seeing dogs.
The seeing eye dogs?
Yeah.
Talk to Nathan about that. All right, so we have some other news. This happened before we go out for the end of the show. Let's see. There's apparently some new law that went into place. I read about this on Kotaku. I haven't seen it covered a whole lot. Apparently, some lines were slipped into a very important law that essentially makes it illegal to annoy people on the internet.
Really?
The word annoy was actually in the bill. And that's what makes this fascinating. So, like, I don't know if you remember, we were having some trouble with people on our forums.
Yeah.
Right? Apparently now it's illegal. Let me see if I can find the actual wording of the bill somewhere.
I think it was like in Florida or something like that.
No, it's federal, dude.
Federal?
Yeah.
What?
I don't.
How are they going to regulate that?
Here's the wording. Whoever utilizes any device or software that can be used to originate to telecommunications or other types of communications that are transferred in whole or in part by the internet without disclosing his identity and with intent to, here's the key part, annoy, abuse, threaten, or harass any person who receives the communications shall be fined under Title 18 or imprisoned not more than 2 years or both.
You know, we had a prison problem. We have a prison problem now. If we're gonna lock up anyone that annoys someone on the internet,
it's crazy. I guess it went into the law, the Violence Against Women and Department of Justice Reauthorization Act. But the wording says if you annoy someone when you're trying to be anonymous, if you put your name on it, if you attach your actual name to it, it's not illegal. So if you say I'm Alon Weisman and I think you're a complete jackhole,
oh, then it's fine.
It's okay. But my name's anonymous. I'm Joe Smith or John Smith.
Uh-huh.
And I think you're a retard. Not legal.
Really?
Yeah.
That's.
Now I can say that because I know we have a listener specifically named John Smith.
Uh huh.
Because now I'm pointing at some, and he knows who I am.
Oh yeah.
Right. So, it's very interesting though. You can't.
That's so idiotic.
Isn't it? So you get 2 years in jail just for being a troll on an internet forum. I thought that was fantastic and very helpful for people in my position.
Of course. Hey, listen, I'm going to...
It's not me. I don't care what you say, but we're going to have to take you off because, you know, the law says that's illegal, and I wouldn't want to create an illegal
environment. All your personal information, unfortunately, is going to have to go to the government.
Yeah.
I would lay low for a couple of weeks.
Exactly. Now, what else did we have here in the news? Kotaku actually is a wealth of information. There was actually apparently a bunch of problems at GameStop. Now, I'm usually in with the GameStop news because I have history with that company, but I haven't really for a couple of years. Word on the street is that things aren't going all that well, and apparently there's a lot of stories from employees and management and whatever that they're going to have to, in order to protect profits, do even better than normal, sell more subscriptions to their magazine, which is pure profit for them.
Yeah.
You know, get more reservations in the store. And there's stories about people from GameStop or other companies like reserving games themselves to boost the numbers and stuff and make sure their managers don't get fired. People are getting fewer hours. So, you know, the kids who want to work 20 hours a week part-time, they're getting fewer hours.
Yeah.
And the managers have to work more. I remember when I was there, it was actually in the policy that I had to work 44 hours a week.
You got that overtime, right?
No, because it was salaried.
Oh, okay.
Right? Now, I didn't have to, like, clock out for lunch or anything. So, conceivably, I'd be taking a half-hour lunch 5 times a week.
Yeah.
2.5 hours. Right, but it was in the books. Had to work 44 hours a week. Now, when Christmas comes along, oh no, 6 days a week, whatever that equals. Plus, you're going to be doing more than the minimum anyway.
Uh-huh.
More than 44 hours a week. I think they boosted it up to 50.
Like 50 or 55.
And no raise, no nothing. In fact, I don't even think I got a Christmas bonus.
Really?
Yeah. Like you get stuff from companies during like the manager meeting, whatever, in some other state. But
now I was
I don't remember getting an actual Christmas bonus. Maybe I don't remember.
At the Greasy Spoon or whatever, you know, the restaurant that I worked at before for 3 years. First, I started in the fall. I got a Christmas bonus right away.
Yeah.
$50.
I don't know. I heard of a company here in Phoenix that people who worked somewhere for 3 weeks and ended up winning a bonus of $10,000.
Really?
Yes.
What company could that be?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know. But it happens. There's
it
big
happens.
Up and comers here in Phoenix area. All right, so that was a big piece of news that sort of touched my heart.
Yeah.
Because it was involving GameStop. I hope that they're not going through such trouble, but after a giant merger like they just went through, maybe they're having troubles.
Yeah, they
but
can.
Their stock, by the way, has been through the roof, so
oh,
I don't
I'm
know
sure
what the problem is. Anyway, that's all for our show today, everybody.
That is it.
Unless you have something else you want to squeeze in.
Not really.
No, we pretty much
good.
Covered everything.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Nathan Smart, for joining us. Thank you, Andrew, for running the show so that I don't have to do all the work myself when we do the podcast-only shows. I am glad everybody was able to tune in at our new time, 8 p.m.
8 p.m., yeah.
We moved back
an hour.
Which
will change sometime.
Maybe. We never even mentioned the fact that we were on at a different time.
We didn't?
But we have a huge number of people actually listening, streamed over the internet, so apparently I got the word out well enough on our website.
Well, I think it works better when we say, you know, we're going to be late, because most people will say, oh, I was going to listen, but
I missed it.
I got right at when it was ending.
Exactly. All right, we got to go, everybody. We will be back next week in the studio, just like this week. Hope you're here with us.
See ya.
been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.